my fucking God. The craziest shit just happened. Oh my God.
Driving with Randy.
Hello, hello, hello. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Driving with Randy. How is everybody doing today? My name is Road Rage Randy, and this is the Driving with Randy podcast, a podcast I started 4 years ago for my 2007 Toyota Sienna Silver Edition. We are currently in a 2018 Subaru Forester Black Edition. How is everybody doing? All right, this is going to like just... I'm still like shocked at what in the fuck just happened. So I was about to get in my car. I was about to pull out from work. I see this dope ass car driving down the road. I get in my car. I put my bag in the car. I sit down. I'm about ready to start her up, and the car pulls up in front of my house. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? So I'm kind of looking over my shoulder. I'm like, is that Colin? Colin is somebody who lived down the road from me. Growing up, we kind of shared a backyard in a way. He lives like, I don't know, what is that? Adjacent to me, not directly behind me, but kind of in the way. Like I'd hang out with him. I'd say I've never been like too close to Colin. We played sports together, but we've definitely hung out before because we've had mutual friends. And I'm just like, is that Colin? I'm like, Colin? He's like, hey man. I'm like, what the fuck are you driving? He's driving a slingshot. So a slingshot is like two wheels up front, one in the back, two passengers, no hood. And I'm like, when did you get this? He goes, I just rented it for the day. Just wanted something fun to do. So he's like, you want a ride? I'm like, I'm really late for work right now, but I'm just not going to pass that up. Like, when in life am I going to have the opportunity to just ride in a slingshot like that? I'm like, I got to take this. I said, you got time for around the block? He said, we'll do it. So he took me around the block to a straightaway. We hit illegal numbers of speed limits during our trip, but that was fun as fuck. I just was not expecting that. Like the timing was just absolutely perfect. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. Today we are going to talk a little bit about my Junior Olympic trip. I have a handful of stories. I might be podcasting for quite some time, or it might be very short. I don't know. Well, anyways, so you guys know, obviously, I made my podcast last week about what I'm doing, what my plans are, and none of it fucking happened, all right? I was on my way down. It was fucking storming. I wake up. It's storming. I get to the state park I wanted to check out. It was storming, so I didn't run it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just go check out a different park along the way. No problem. So I get down there to this new park. It's like 5 minutes off the highway. Every trail is closed, every single one of them. Water contamination. We can't have you on these trails. Every single one of them. I'm like, fuck. Well, it's gonna be like 100 degrees. It was 98 degrees when I was there. I'm like, well shit, now I'm just gonna have to drive to Des Moines. We'll check out maybe a park there. So I drive to Des Moines. I arrive in Des Moines. I arrive right, it was called Gray Lake Park, I believe. And it's closed off. It is also closed off. Why is it closed off? Because Ragbri, 60,000 fucking bikers are taking over the park. I'm like, fuck. now I'm not going to be able to run. So I'm like, all right, I have no idea where I'm going. My destination was right here. So I pull off into this random road. I'm like, yeah, this random road would be pretty dope, right? Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was where all the people from Ragbri were camping as well. Like, it is just completely filled with vehicles, bikers, just packed. I'm like, well, it took me probably 30 to 40 minutes to get out of that mess. Like, just a disaster. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. Well, I found a little tiny park. It was called Fort Des Moines. The way I describe this park is it's one lake, it's 1 mile around, and every pavilion that you see will probably have some people living out of their car at the pavilion. It was not the nicest of parks, but I'm like, I really want to get a run in. Like, I prolonged a long run now for 2 weeks because I plan on doing 15 on the way down here. And I start running, I say, it is way too fucking hot. Like, I was just drenched after even a mile. So at that point, I ran 5K and then I called it a day. I said, shit, it's 11 o'clock. My friends don't get here till 1:30. I don't know what the fuck to do. It's too hot to sit in my car. It's too hot to walk around even. I don't know what to do. So I went to Culver's and got myself a strawberry concrete mixer. It was quite delicious. It was actually very delicious. But yeah, I took my sweet time. Their flight actually ended up getting in early, so I gotta pick them up early. Listen, the airport is in West Des Moines. It's a whole different city. It's not even Des Moines. It's West Des Moines. And there was still people from Ragbri taking, like, the Hy-Vee. I went to go take a poop at the Hy-Vee, and there's just millions of fucking bikers around. Huge, huge cycling event. One of my friends that lives here in town, he was actually in it. I saw he post some pictures of it. And he's like, why didn't you pick me up and offer me water? I was dying. I'm like, yeah, I just, didn't know you were doing it. Anyways, my friends get there. We go out to eat. We picked the local Applebee's right off the start, you know, something nice and easy, kind of relaxing. The way I always see it is when I go to these tournaments, the first day with the close homies, you know, we always get there a day early. Listen, the competition wasn't until, Saturday, and we get there Wednesday. So it's like day one, there's not going to be a lot of people here. Let's just chill. Let's take it easy a little bit. You know, you have some nice conversations. It's a little bit of a different feel because once people start coming in, it's just going to be nonstop. Like, it's hard to escape. You are going to be with 4 to 9 people at all times. Now, I managed to sneak out nice and early in the morning every day. Hot as shit, by the way. Thursday and Friday, I got like a 6.5 mile run in, just nothing crazy, just kind of keep the legs moving and, you know, spend some time to myself. Cause I know the second I get back, people are gonna be awake. Yeah, people weren't awake yet. They don't get up till like 8:30, but you know, I was up at like 6-7 o'clock getting ready, going for runs. I'd get back and they'd just be like, you know, checking their phone, you know, kind of rolling out of bed, that kind of a thing. And then we got the day rolling. As far as the tournament goes, you know, it kind of the usual. Individually, did I do well? Not really. No, I didn't. I'd say I did not. But as a team, sorry, my car was making some noise. As a team, my favorite event is a team event. And the reason I practice is to make sure I don't let my team down. Going into individuals, if I let myself down, I'm not too worried about it. But I would feel pretty bad if I let my team down. So We ended up getting third overall, which is absolutely fantastic. And we had a great time. It's one of those things where I get stuck on a team. Well, I wouldn't even say stuck. I get asked to be on a team with people who are, in my eyes, significantly better than me. They're a lot quicker. Basically, my objective when it is my turn is don't mess up. Go realistically a small speed and they'll make up for whatever I fucked up, basically. All three of them are world-class athletes, high-level, competitive, world-class athletes. I might compete at a world level, but I'm just not as competitive. Like, these guys are killing it. And we did absolutely great. I had a fantastic time. It's always an honor to stack with people that are quicker than you. Heck, it was an honor to room with people quicker than me. It's just a great time seeing friends. One of the stories I wanted to tell was our hotel bathroom didn't have a lock. Now, you'd think if there's no lock, someone's gonna accidentally walk in once or twice. Nope, not at all. Zero times. But I go into this public bathroom because we're sitting there eating breakfast, and you know, hotel breakfast is gonna hit real quick, go right through. I'm like, boys, I gotta hit the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom, and we're just chilling. We're taking care of business. Some guy walks in and opens the fucking stall. The stall was locked. It was locked. Like, he kicked it in. He's like, oh, sorry, bro, sorry. And then he looks in the other one. He's like, you got an extra roll of TP in there, bro? I said, no, there's only one, actually. He said, all right. I said, I'll be done real soon, though. He goes, no, I'm going to just take it back to my hotel room. Dude, why'd you kick in the door? So I got walked in more times while taking a shit in a locked stall than I did in a hotel room without a lock. And listen, we definitely had, man, we're just admitting to lots of law breaking here on the Driving with Randy podcast. First, we're speeding in a, what do you call it? A slingshot. And then now we definitely had more than the capacity that the fire marshal would allow in our hotel room. I think one time we were packing probably 15 people in there. But on the bright side, we had zero noise complaints, which is great. We went mini golfing. I haven't been mini golfing in what feels like probably 5 or 6 years. So it was kind of rough. I did pretty solid on the front nine. You know, I sent my dad's a golfer. I sent him a photo. He said, you did pretty well on the front nine. You fell apart though. Yeah, I fell very apart on the back nine. I ended up getting third place. Third out of third, by the way. But you know, it's one of those things, again, I have these weekends to go have fun. I'm not too competitive necessarily in the individual stuff. I'm not gonna go mini golfing with some friends. One's from North Carolina and one's from Connecticut. You know, I'm not gonna go mini golfing with them and like get upset if I fucking lose. I'm there to see them and have myself a grand old fucking time is what I'm here for. We're pulling into the gas station here. We'll be right back. Yeah, I don't remember exactly where I left off before this gas station run, but like, long story short, these trips where I go hang out with my friends that I've known for, God, some of them half their lives, half of my life, it's super, super special. Like, it's just fantastic. I don't know. A lot of people don't have opportunities to just meet people from all over the world. Heck, there was people from Malaysia there, and I talked to them quite a bit. And now I've got friends over in Malaysia. You know, this was actually really cool. So, they organized this little event Saturday night. So Saturday we had some competition. It's like the preliminary day. And then they organized something where, you know, just kind of an after party type thing. I mean, it's not like the after party that we did Sunday where we're up all night and under the influence. This was just kind of a super chill place. And this actually was so fucking cool. The place was called Smash Park. And it had like four indoor pickleball courts, two outdoor pickleball courts. It had two bocce ball courts, a bunch of like giant Connect Four, giant Jengas. It was really fucking cool. Like a full bar. And then food. You had food. They had like arcade as well. Really fucking awesome. Like, if there was one of those in my town, I would for sure. I was talking to one of the moms. She goes, man, after like 9 o'clock, that place turns into a meat locker. Like, yeah, I saw a whole bunch of meat rolling up, and not a lot of women. They were all on the search, but I don't know. It was really fucking cool. But they had some cornhole or some bags. And I was playing with a girl from Malaysia. And then there was a, I don't know how old he was. I want to say he was like 10. 10-year-old from China. And he didn't speak a whole lot of English. He was very, very young still. So the girl from Malaysia helped translate a little bit. I'm eating a protein bar, by the way. I know, nice and respectful. Podcasting and eating. But we were playing bags, and the Chinese kid, he just couldn't throw a fucking bag. Like, he was bowling, right? And we decided we're going to play doubles. So what kind of a road did I drive on where I'm picking up all these rocks? So I was playing with the CEO of the company that makes the cups that we stack. Someone from Team Malaysia and someone from Team China. And the kid from Team China was just like really, really rough. Well, the CEO, his name's Don. Don comes over and teaches this kid how to throw a bag. Worst mistake ever, because that kid was hitting like 3 out of 4, 4 out of 4 regularly after he found out how to throw those bags, like in the hole, not just on the board, like in the hole. Unbelievable. Dude was absolutely killing it. I'm never going to forget. So like, that was just spectacular to see. And it's just like another thing. I don't know. It was fucking awesome. I'm happy. I'm like really, really happy. These trips are fantastic. And what's great about it is next month in September, a lot of people will be coming here. There's a tournament here. And not all my friends are going to make it, but I think a lot are going to try and make it. And that's great, because now I get to show them my hood, you know. I don't know how many times I've been to other places, and it's like, all right, you're coming to Minnesota. We're going to go to some of my favorite places. Well, what I did was I'm really hyped about this tournament. I told my parents, I said, listen, I know the competition's like 15 minutes away, but there's like not a chance in hell I miss the hotel life of these tournaments. Like, I will be staying at a hotel. So that weekend, good luck seeing me type thing. I'm sure they'll come out and spectate. I don't think they've been to a tournament since 2019, 4 years? 4 years since my family's been and seen me stack. It might even be longer than that. It was whenever the last Minnesota tournament was that they came out and watched a little bit. And they actually asked for permission beforehand. They're like, if you don't want us there, we won't come. I'm like, nah, I'd love you there. That'd be awesome. I mean, here's one of the things. Nerves, all right? So a lot of people, when they go up to the competition table to compete, they get nervous. And I think being around for, you know, 12, 13 years, I kind of have a, I know what it's like to be up there. So when you're practicing, you can't simulate what it's like to be nervous. Like, you're just not going to be nervous practicing. But you go up to that table and it's a little bit different. But it's kind of a feeling where I've learned to adapt, and you just trust the process. Like, you trust that you put your training in and everything just falls into place. Now, what they do is they have something called the Stack of Champions. So if you are top three in an event, you get another chance at bettering your time in the Stack of Champions. So not only was that, oh my God, listen, there's a stacker named William Orrell. Guy's a fucking legend. Super chill. I've roomed with him the past couple tournaments. I think the stats, like, he's podiumed 8 out of the last 9 Junior Olympics that he's been to. Like, that's fucking crazy. Guy is cracked. But he ended up getting 2nd at this tournament. Going into the Stack of Champions, the person that won it, his name's Andrew Dale, also fucking, like, that guy, listen, I was sleeping in a corner, and that guy came and woke me up and said, Randy, I'm headed out, bro, and gave me a hug. It was, he just couldn't resist saying goodbye, so that was pretty fucking cool. But he went into the Stack of Champions, like, I think he was 0.309 down from first place. He chipped a little off in the first event, a little off in the second event, and then he smashed it on the, like, I was so happy for him. That guy's been putting in the work. Like, he said he's been stacking consistency the last, like, 3 months. He's been practicing real hard. It all paid up. Now, when you're in the Stack of Champions, you are front and center. You are the highlight of what's going on. There is nothing else in the venue happening. So everybody is in the stands and everybody is watching you. I have been in 5 of the last 6 Stack of Champions for the relay, which is my favorite event. I know some people will say I've been carried there with teammates that are significantly better than me. But at some point, damn it, it has to be me. There's some consistency factor in the fact that I am there 5 out of the 6 times making the podium, all right? At some point, it's a slight carry, all right? The last couple years, I've been on really fucking amazing teams, so, like, I get it. The first year, it was a team that should have never made it, like, we should just not have made it. It's awesome. But going up there in front of everybody, the nerves are significantly different from even just going up and doing your finals. Like, it's something that I'm trying to learn to adapt with, because it's a little more nerve-wracking. I think I've been doing, so 2 years ago, I think I fucked up every single time, and I felt a little bad, but, you know, we did what we came out to do. We got the world record, and we got first place overall. We had that going into Stack of Champions, so, I don't know, it's just, it was different. I fucked up all 3 times. This time around, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I was tunnel visioned in and just like I knew exactly what I needed to do, and I went 3 for 3. I'm not trying to blame my teammates for us not improving my time or anything. I'm just saying, like, I did my part. I went 3 for 3. I think something that I did that really helped me was I didn't look at the audience at all. So I walked up there, and there's one thing on my mind. That were the cups. I put the cups on the table. I didn't look at the audience at all. I looked at my teammates. I looked at what was happening, but I was focused on what's going on and not what was focused on out in front of me, I suppose. We didn't end up bettering our time, but we took home a third place overall trophy, and that's awesome for a marquee, a major tournament. That's awesome. So coming up in the stacking world, I guess what I have going is September will be Minnesota tournament. Hyped for that. I'm hoping there's something down in Texas in November. Actually, that would be really hype, because I helped this lady's daughter and learn how to do something, and this lady has not stopped messaging me, and it's just not stacking related. I've got a MILF in the DMs. That's all I'm gonna leave that at. But that'd be awesome if there's a tournament down in Texas. And then February next year will be back to Atlanta, like always. And then April is the World Championships in Orlando, Florida. And as long as I don't get kicked off the national team from now until April, I do plan on going there, because a world's experience, like, imagine what I just went through. I have friends from all over the country. I got to see all of them. But then imagine putting it in a world setting. So now my friends from Germany are flying over. My friends from Switzerland are flying over. And that will be, like, 2018 Worlds in Orlando is one of the major highlights of my stacking career, and I didn't make finals in a single event. Like, the stacking was completely horrific, but the social aspect was just unforgettable. And I think going forward, I think that's how it's gonna be. So I'm super, super hyped for that. Next year is gonna be kind of a rough year. A lot of the people in the collegiate division are moving up to my division in the Masters 1. So we're gonna have a tough division. The stacking probably is not gonna get any better, but the competition is going to continue to be better than me. So I'm just gonna go and do what one of the guys, he helps run the Atlanta tournament. He said to me, I just kept messing up. He's like, Randy, I like that you just have fun no matter what you're doing. Like, you're always having fun. I'm like, thanks, man. Actually, this was incredible. See, I told you, I'm just gonna, like, not shut the fuck up. So another thing that happened was, so my thing last year was to wish everybody good luck. So I went around to everybody on our side of the room and wished them good luck, gave them knuckles. But this year I said, they combined three of our divisions to be at the same table. So, like, I was warmed up. It took a while for them to get to me. So I went to the other side of the gym and I did the exact same thing. Do you know how, like, I don't know. I was kind of amazed by this. Some of the little kids that I said good luck to said, thank you, Randy, and then gave me a fist bump. I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, I didn't know. I probably had, I don't know, 6 or 7 people know who I was, and I have no idea who they are. And it's not like I've met them before. They just, you know, the word gets around that Randy in the stacking tournament, you know, the word's gonna get around that I'm getting carried into this stack of champions. Like, I'm definitely not known for being a fast stacker, but all my friends are fast, so I hang out with them, so they definitely know who I am. I think that was fucking awesome. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop talking about this trip. I think I've gone on long enough. I apologize. I did miss the podcast last week. I was just so hyped about this this year tournament. I just didn't have anything else to talk about. So we'll see where next week leads. I appreciate you guys tuning into the podcast as always, and I hope to see you guys back next week. Follow my socials, you know, Venmo, PayPal, link is in the description below. Rate me on Spotify, iTunes, all that fun stuff. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope to see you guys back next week. If I don't, I hope you have a wonderful life. Peace.